Good morning. In every one of our lives, whether you know it or not, there are some people that have louder voices than others. And I'm not just talking about the volume of their voices. Some voices just carry more weight. Here's some examples. I know as the lead pastor that my voice, the words I say, carry the most weight in our church. And so I have to be very careful, not just what I say, but how I say it. And I'm learning how to do this better and better as years go on. Maybe this is true of your place of employment. Maybe your boss, simply because of title, carries the most weight. When they say something, their words just weigh more. Maybe it's not your boss. Maybe in your marriage, one person, when they speak, their voice carries more weight. They have more influence. This is true in your friend groups. It's true in your small groups. It's really true wherever people gather. Somebody has more influence than others. This is true as you read scripture and everything about whose voice, whose authority. And this is important to know and understand. We need to understand whose voice we're listening to. Whose voice has our ear? Which ones influence us to do or say things? Other times we give people authority that they don't even deserve. And this shows up in times when we give somebody authority or give them weight for the words that they're saying that they don't really earn or that they don't deserve. What happens then is then if we go to a social media post, we get a text message, we're in a conversation, somebody shares some negative things about us, that can send us in a spiral. Because unlike what we heard as kids about sticks and stones not breaking bones, words hurt, right? Words matter, and who we listen to matters even more. My coach likes to say, I'm in a coaching network, actually I'll be there next week. He says this, treat criticism like a whisper. Those closest to you have the loudest voice. I think that paints a great picture of how we should hear and receive criticism. I also like this one, I've heard it said this way, don't take criticism from someone you would never ask advice from. But how often do we allow those things to seep into us? We'd never ask that person for advice, but we allow the hurtful things they say impact us. This is why it's important to know who has our ear. It's important to know whose voice in our life carries the most weight in your life. And it's equally important to know who you find yourself listening to the most. And so this morning, I want to challenge all of us to kind of tune in, to lean in, to peek our ears and decide there's going to be one voice in our lives that's going to be above all others, and that, of course, is Jesus. But before we jump into that, let's pray. Let's invite God and His Holy Spirit to meet us where we are this morning. Will you pray with me? God, just come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, and would you reveal yourself to us in a very real way? Would you help us to allow your voice to speak, to carry the most weight in these remaining moments that we have together? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. I'm Andy Rainey number three this morning. Thanks for joining us. As it's already been mentioned, you guys have come in a great Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I encourage the adults to get your face painted too. They're pretty remarkable face painters. It's not like a balloon on your cheek. They're pretty great. We are in a series called I Am, where we're looking at the seven I Am statements in the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four books of the New Testament that tell the story of the life of Jesus. And if you're following along on our reading plan, which you can find in our journals out in the hallway, if you don't have one, grab one of those. You're going to read not just the seven I Am statements, you'll read about the seven miracles that Jesus performs in that gospel. And each time he says an I Am statement, each time a miracle is performed, he is connecting the dots, revealing that he is God to the community of people he's doing life with. So far, we've looked at three I Am statements that Jesus said. I am the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, and I am the gate for the sheep, as we talked about last week. We're just going to extend a little bit. Right after he talks about he's the gate, he talks about he's the good shepherd. And if you've missed any of those, I really encourage you to go back, watch them, or listen to them. And this morning, we're continuing that conversation with sheep and shepherds. In biblical times and in the Bible, you're going to see we are compared to sheep throughout Scripture. And like sheep who seem to find trouble, like they're just predestined to find trouble, we often are as well. But the beauty of being called sheep to our good shepherd is that we can have this unique relationship with the good shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. But we also have a tendency, just like sheep and the flock, to follow other sheep into trouble. There's this story, if you Google it, of this huge grouping of sheep, of like 1,500 sheep. And one sheep steps off of a cliff, and the next sheep follows, and so forth and so on, until 1,500 sheep fall off this cliff. Over 400 of them die. I think it's a great metaphor or picture for how we can find people and follow them into dangerous territories. Now, if you, when I was a kid, and you did something that you shouldn't do because your buddy did it, my mom would say something. If Billy jumped off of a cliff, would you? Right? We may not jump off the cliff, but we might follow the wrong people into where trouble lurks. But there is another option. There is another voice. We can listen to the good shepherd, the voice of God, and follow him. And the relationship of the shepherd to the sheep is one of love. It's one of protection. It's one of guidance, which we talked a lot about last week. And a shepherd will dedicate their entire life to caring for the flock, protecting them. That's what their whole role is. And as we'll see in this next I am statement that Jesus says, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd and a shepherd's love for his sheep. And he gives us this metaphor to understand God's love for his people, which everybody would have understood. They would have had that connection. Obviously, being a shepherd was something that they were very familiar with. And the more we understand how a shepherd loves his flock, the more we're going to be amazed by God's love towards us. God's love is extravagant, much better than anything else anybody else could offer. This side of heaven, we will face temptations and the real powerful work of the enemy. There is an adversary. The thief, the enemy, Satan, we are told comes for one reason and one reason only. We read this last week, but we're going to read it again this week. In John chapter 10, it says, the thief, the enemy, the adversary, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, Jesus offers us life. Satan offers us death, which is sometimes the adversary, the enemy, Satan can cleverly disguise things that look like life, but they really lead to death. The love and life of our shepherd, Jesus, the thing that he offers us is not contingent. It's not like you have to be in dangerous circumstances. No, it is grounded and deeply rooted in affection for his sheep, the love that he has. Jesus longs for every one of us to understand this kind of love and accept it. And this is how he announces this love. This is how he says the next I am statement to this community. After he said, I am the gate for the sheep, and he's painted that beautiful picture for us, he says this, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, Jesus said, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At the sign of danger, a hired hand, a hired shepherd, is going to run for cover. They love the wages, not the sheep. So a conflict with a wolf or a bear or anything that threatens the flock, they're going to run away. It's above their pay grade. The shepherd, though, the good shepherd, the true shepherd, remains. He is invested in the flock and cares for every one of their needs. The shepherd doesn't go anywhere but stands between the danger and the sheep. And this example shows the kind of love and dedication that Jesus has for every one of us. And there's nothing that we can do to earn more of his love. God's love never changes. And throughout Scripture, we see that his faithfulness plays out in the lives, his faithfulness for love plays out in the lives of every single one of us. We see from the very beginning of time, like when Adam and Eve first sinned, when they wandered, when they ate from the tree, they're ashamed in their disobedience to God. They try to hide from God. What does God do? He wouldn't leave them in their sin. He goes searching for them. He runs toward them. He calls out to them. He longs to restore that broken relationship. This is exactly what a good shepherd does. He runs toward people in trouble. God runs toward us even in our sin, cleansing us and offering us a new life with him. And our shepherd cannot be frightened away. He always stands guard to protect. As the good shepherd, Jesus, he knows when one of his sheep go missing. We see this in Scripture. He will leave the 99 in search of the one. He knows our tendencies. He knows our thoughts. He knows the things that tempt us. And as sheep, we're actually trained to hear our shepherd's voice. Our shepherd knows the number of hairs or lack thereof on our head. He knows our deepest joys. He understands our greatest struggles and his desires to make himself known to every single one of us. Life change begins to take place when we say yes to him. But too often we choose to listen to other shepherds in our lives. Author Dallas Willard said it this way, "The Lord is my shepherd" is written on many more tombstones than lives. The invitation from Jesus is for us to follow him, to listen to him. He isn't behind us, driving us. Things change in our lives when we feel led by God, not driven by God. We follow his voice, not the demands of his voice. There is a difference. And there are a lot of people who feel more driven by religion than led by God. They feel like God is behind them, driving them to do more, to be more, instead of God being in front of them, leading them to more. Again, there is a difference. In the book, I Am Changes Who I Am, author Greg Matt tells a story of this trip to the Holy Land. And they're on this trip. There's this tourist group with them, of course, and they see a flock of sheep being driven through town. One of the people in the group asks, "I thought the shepherd led the flock from the front. Why is he in the back?" The guide simply replied, "That is not the shepherd. That is the butcher." I mean, if you feel driven by God, like he's back of you, pushing you to more, that's not God. God is not driving you. Honestly, sometimes we're like, we drive ourselves, right? We listen to someone else's voice. But Jesus, the good shepherd, is not a butcher. A life that is being driven begins to feel push, and that often results in bitterness and guilt. And if you live your life being driven long enough, you're not going to be able to tell the difference between your guilt and God's call on your life. Then we begin to act out of this guilt and obligation instead of the love and the mercy and the grace that Jesus offers. Religion about God will be replaced with will replace relationship with God. Religion about God, let me say that again, will replace relationship with God. This is so easy to drift and slip into. This slips into maybe it's our internal dialogue, it's our pride, it's like the responsibility. It's the words from our parents, maybe even pastors that ring in our ear like, "You ought to go. You ought to go," right? And this isn't really uncommon. And I'd say at some point, all of us have wrestled with this at varying degrees, but we don't have to wrestle with that. What we need to do is seek relationship with Jesus and reflect on how he's speaking to us. And the question we start to ask ourselves, are we relating with God or to God as a constant present part of our lives? Is that how we're relating to him? Are we using Jesus, seeing Jesus, treating Jesus like this figurehead of some club that we attend most weeks? Do we let our shepherd lead us, or do we feel driven by the butcher? Are we blazing our own trail? And then we just ask him, "Hey, if you could help me out here and there, that'd be great." And there's no shame here. Jesus is essentially telling and teaching his disciples, the people that he spends the most time with, the ones he's investing into, the ones he's training, He's correcting their skewed view, their perspective on religion, the law, and life. And whether we are being led instead of feeling driven is based on whose voice we're listening to. We're reminded of this throughout Scripture. In Hebrews 3:15, we're reminded of the dangers of listening to the wrong voice. We're reminded of the dangers of hearing God's voice and then not doing anything with it. It says, today, if you hear his voice, talking about God, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. When we continue to allow other people to set our agenda, it results in us losing who we are, our identity. We waste time, and ultimately, we begin to lose our impact. When our flesh or the voice of other people and their expectations are the things that guide us, then the voice of God, the good shepherd, has been replaced by the butcher. And the more we listen to other voices instead of the good shepherd's voice, the more God's leadership gets impeded. It gets pushed down because we've left his sheep pen on an errand for somebody else. We have been recreated. We have been recreated in salvation to be shepherded by the good shepherd. And we can be certain that following the shepherd's lead will cause us to grow in our affection and our desire to know him and listen to him more. And the more we know the good shepherd, the more we want to stay by his every move and listen to his every word. Knowing the good shepherd and being known by him changes us because, as we've said, I am changes who we are. Let's head back and read it again, how Jesus describes his relationship as our good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. He said, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He said, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus said, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. I am the good shepherd. He says that twice. The word good here means inherently good, beautiful, fair. To call Jesus the good shepherd here is to call him God. Everybody in that community would know exactly what he was saying. And when Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, this communicates more than just this intellectual knowledge or awareness. It speaks of an intimate relationship between God and his people, which would have been mind-blowing. This is where we begin to recognize his voice that carries the most weight in our lives above all others. But this, just like every other relationship, every other intimate relationship you've ever had, it just takes time. When we learn to hear the voice of God, we do that by spending more time with him. And there's lots of ways we do that. Certainly Sunday mornings, but we do this by reading his word. We do this by praying, spending time listening, not talking all the time. We do this by reading other books. We do this by Bible studies and small groups, by trainings like the one we did last week, and so many others. And this is who our good shepherd is. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to follow his lead. Jesus wants an intimate relationship with every one of us where we know him, we see him as our good shepherd, where we listen to his voice above all the other voices. I mean, if I'm honest, this is what I long for every one of us. It's what I long for me and my family, to listen and follow the good shepherd's voice. Because when we have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, our lives are filled in ways the world simply cannot offer. And there's something interesting that happens, and I'm sure you've experienced this with intimate relationships. Sometimes you're in this intimate relationship, you're spending time with somebody that you care about, words aren't even needed, right? There are times when a look to my kids communicates everything they need to know, right? There are times when I'm with my wife, we don't have to say a single word. Just being in the presence of each other is enough. Sometimes a glance, a single word, A nod, a touch communicates everything you need to hear. And not only do we have a good shepherd that knows us, we have one that's always on the lookout for us, always looking for danger. He keeps watch. He stands between. Our good shepherd wants his voice to be the loudest. Our good shepherd wants his voice to carry the most weight in our lives because he wants to care for us. He wants to protect us. He wants to guide us. He wants to love us. When our lives are filled with noise of the other voices, sometimes God is whispering in those moments. The thing about a whisper is even when it's quiet, depending on your proximity, sometimes a whisper is hard to hear. Even when it's quiet. It's even harder to hear a whisper when there's noise filling our lives. I have this a sound, my family might say it's this annoying sound that I make to get my family's attention, and it works remarkably well. I stole this from another family or another friends of ours about 20 years ago. He made this sound, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, well, if we're in a grocery store or something, I make this sound, and if they're two aisles out, they know to come see me. I'm like, remarkable, I've got to do this. And it works. It's this sound. That's it. And if I'm in a group of people and I just want to get somebody's attention, like one of my friends, it works on my friends, or my family members, and I go, almost everybody in that group will turn, which is great, but I only need the one that I'm trying to get attention to. One of my daughters was in, she might have been in third grade, and you know, they had this school function, and they're in this cafetorium, you know, they're playing, they're having games, it's really loud. And my daughter was doing something I'd preferred she didn't do. And so again, I'm probably 10 or 15 feet from my daughter, and I just simply went, her face turned to me, and I just simply did this. And that was it. No words were said, just a sound was made to get her attention. And she listened to that voice or that sound because it carried the most weight in that environment. And my hope for my kids is they listen to the words of wisdom I've tried to instill in them long after they're out of my daily care. My daughter was able to hear my voice above all the others because we had spent time together. It wasn't the first time I went, kss, kss. She had heard that hundreds of times by then. That's the relationship we have. We have that love. We have that connection. This takes time to build with Jesus. And sometimes we hear his voice remarkably well, and other times it seems distant or, as Paige shared, silent. But the reality is, unlike my kids who will eventually leave the house, hopefully, we're always under the daily care of our good shepherd. We never leave his pen. We can choose to, but he's still going to be on lookout. He's still going to call out to us. And God wants us to follow his voice by walking away from sin or the things that aren't of God and into the things that are of God and his plan. And at times it may feel like he moves really, really slow. At times we can hear his voice as clear as a bell. And other times he leads from that quiet, that silence. But those that call themselves followers that are in his pen, that are under his care, Scripture often calls them the wise. Well, the wise follow what they already know to do. All the things you already know, just do those things in order to discover what they need to know next. We have to trust God's going to show us the next thing by doing the things we already know to do. We do this by knowing his word. Doesn't mean you know it all. It's knowing what you know, doing what you know. It's following his ways. It's listening to his spirit, the Holy Spirit, because our God in heaven is the good shepherd. He is able and willing to do whatever it takes to teach his sheep the sound of his voice. He longs more than just a relationship where he can just wave across the room. He longs for this vibrant, growing relationship with us. Our shepherd is good, and he's willing to lay it all down for his sheep. Our shepherd is great. He conquered death on a cross, and he equips us with every good thing to do his will. The Good Shepherd brings change in our lives by the Holy Spirit, and as a result, we begin to act and look more like Jesus. This is my encouragement to all of us, that we call on the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in our prayers. Let's start there. That prayer is just a churchy word for a conversation. It's just talking to God. It's listening, just like you would in any conversation. And one of the ways we can do that is maybe praying something like this. It'll be on the screen. Good Shepherd, lead me today. Guide me and reveal to me the path. Admitting, I'm an unwise sheep in need of guidance. You are the wise Lord who is my shepherd, and I want to follow you. Lead me. As a matter of fact, let's do this right now. Let's take a few minutes and pray and listen. We did this in an earlier series, Praying Like Monks, where we sat in 2 minutes of silence. And we're going to do that for those of you like, really, like nothing? Like we're going to be as quiet as we can. And you might hear different voices or different noises, people shifting in their seats, maybe the doors opening and closing. Try to do your best to just quiet all that. We're just going to sit in 2 minutes of silence. And this might feel awkward to some of us. It's like a muscle you've got to exercise and learn how to do. But I encourage you to sit. Clear your mind the best way you can. Recenter yourself on Jesus and listen that he might speak to you. And sometimes it's a still small voice. And if it's biblical, if it lines up with Scripture, if it's loving, that's God's voice. So we're going to keep this prayer on the screen up here. I'm going to set my little stopwatch here, and we're going to be quiet for 2 minutes. I'm going to say a quick prayer and then nothing but silence for 2 minutes. You guys ready? So God, just come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Good Shepherd, lead us today. God, reveal yourself to us. Reveal the path. Jesus, we are unwise sheep in need of your guidance. And you're wise. You're the wise Lord. You're the good shepherd, and we want to follow you. So God, speak to us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably the hardest thing to do is just to be quiet, isn't it? To silence your mind or quiet it down. I mean, try to practice that when you're trying to invest in a relationship and let them talk and not say anything. Just listen well. This is a great practice that I encourage you. And I'm sure some of you are like, that seemed like that 2 minutes was 10 minutes, right? It felt like forever. Maybe some of you are like, man, I can't believe 2 minutes went by so fast. But I encourage you to start here, to listen, learn how to listen for that quiet voice of our Heavenly Father, the Good Shepherd. Grab your Connect cards that have been mentioned several times this morning. And again, if you've not filled this out, I encourage you to at least put your name. We're going to offer you some next steps. We believe God has a next step that Sunday, He wants to use Sunday to impact your Monday. You may have a step that we don't mention. Just write that on the Connect card. Drop it in the offering when it goes by in just a few minutes, and we'll follow up where it's appropriate. But the first next step we're going to offer you this morning is to accept Christ for the first time. Maybe today is the day you say yes to Jesus. You enter into His loving care. You enter into His pen. You begin to hear His voice and listen and look for it. You begin to engage in Scripture and allow it to speak to you, to change you. He is the ultimate change agent. He begins to change you from the inside out. And if you've made that decision today, mark that on your Connect card. Drop it in the offering when it goes by. And there's free Bibles and resources out in the hallway. Please grab something. It's our gift to you. The second is our memory verse. Our memory verse, we do one a quarter, and we've been trying to do this idea of modeling our life to look more like Jesus, something He's taught about a prayer, or modeling something that He's doing, engaging in a conversation with His Father. And that's what this one is out of Mark. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. And this is certainly, if you can do those things, if you're a morning person, you can get away from the house and you can get alone, great. But if not, still do the practice of seeking out our Heavenly Father and praying. And here's the application. Seek and listen for the Good Shepherd's voice. And start off every day. And start that off every day and throughout the day. So we're listening, we're centering, we're starting with listening for Heavenly Father's voice, and then checking in as the day goes on. Maybe it's like a text message, that idea of like, I'm going to send God a text right now. Like, hey, God, how you doing? What do you see? What do you have me do in this environment? But learn to prime your thoughts, to open up your ears, to tune your ears into that Heavenly Father, the Good Shepherd, and check in. Because it's easy to go throughout our days, right? And not check in with God. I know I'm guilty of it. I can go hours and hours and hours and go, oh yeah, I'm doing all this in my own strength, in my own thoughts. And certainly they're from God. But how much different is it when we go, okay, God, not my will, but your will be done. Come speak to me. I'm lost shepherd in need of your guidance. I'm lost sheep in need of your guidance. And the fourth is receive prayer. Lots of ways you can receive prayer here at Blue Ash. You can write it on your Connect card, drop it in the offering. That goes right to our prayer teams, goes to our staff. We pray for those every staff meeting. It's an honor to do it. You can email us at prayer@blueashcc.com. But the most impactful way I think you can receive prayer is in person. These angled black walls will have prayer teams that will pray for anything that's going on. Whether that's to hear God's voice more clearly, whether it's because you just accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you have a big meeting, you're looking for a job, you got a medical test that you're waiting on, you need healing, you just have a praise to report, whatever is going on in your life, they'd be honored to pray for you. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering. If you want to drop your Connect cards in there, if you want to grab your communion elements. If you don't have any communion elements, feel free to go grab one up by those doors in the back there. We do this in remembrance of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. His body, which is what this wafer represents, was broken for us. His blood was shed. And as we read in the verses in John, that He willingly gave up His life. Nobody took it from Him. Nobody did it on their own accord. He did it on His own accord. He gave up His life for us. And so when we take communion, it's certainly a reminder of what He's done, but it's also a reminder that He lives in us, His Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is alive and well in every one of us. And that's the Spirit of God. It's His voice. That's who we hear. Let me pray. God, thanks. Thanks for being a good shepherd. Not a hired hand. You don't flee at the first sign of danger. You don't flee. You don't run away from us when we're in times of trouble, when we're doing things that we shouldn't, God, you run towards us, just like the prodigal son. God, I love that picture of you always chasing us down, always looking on the horizon for us to turn back to you. And so some of us are wandering sheep this morning in need of the good care of the good shepherd. Some of us are in the pen. We've been there for a while, but it's hard to hear your voice amongst all the noise in the pen. Others of us, it just seems like you're distant, you're silent. And still others hear your voice as clear as a bell. But right now, we just ask you to come right now. Reveal yourself. Help us to hear your voice above all the others, Lord. Help us to be good followers of you. God, we love you. Thanks for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to sit or stand and receive prayer.